here, 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night. That's Eastern Time, tantalknetwork.com. Go Yard with Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac. So we're getting back here. Let's do our station ID. Don't go anywhere. Here we do. Here we go. We are glad to be a part of tantalknetwork.com. We love it. Love the ownership, Lola. She's amazing. And Big Ed, the executive producer and everything. And it's just a joy to be here week after week with you on Sunday and on Thursday night. And we are in John chapter 21 right now, as Cindy Henderson from Idaho, part of our radio team, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and me, Pastor Marcia, bringing you the Word of God today, as we do every week. And Pastor Jim, I think you were making a point, and I had to go to station ID, I'm sorry, but you were making a point of about the joy of being on the air, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love being on the air. I love sharing the gospel. I mean, we've seen the Spirit move. We don't, I mean, well, was 2 weeks ago, Cindy, you and I and Nan were on, and right. God just told me there was somebody who needed to hear something that I had to say, and I told Pastor I went further with my testimony than I ever had before, and, you know, just basically came out and told everybody exactly what was going on. But there was, I just felt so strongly, and I felt that before, and I know you have, Pastor.
Oh, yeah.
I know we all have.
Right.
That there's somebody who needs to hear something specific that that is happening, like, today or whatever.
Yes.
And that's why we do this.
Well, somebody, you know, you're so right. Somebody this week asked me if we got paid for this. And I said, no, we pay to do this. And and so if there's any of you out there that want to give towards the radio ministry, go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Go to the bottom of the homepage. It'll say donations. Open up a page for PayPal. Anything that comes in there goes to the radio broadcast to pay for these this show, not the Thursday night show. That has sponsors, but this show. So, you know, it's all about... What do we value? Do we value the Word of God in our lives? Do we value growing in God? Is that an important part of your life? Do you read your Bible? Do you take time to listen to good music and praise God? Do you take time to talk to Him? Talk to us, Cindy, before I do this next song.
Well, and it's not all about salvation. That's just the first step.
Exactly.
You can't have people be saved and then abandon them.
Right.
They need guidance. They need to be. They need to learn. They need to grow. That's why I'm sure both of you would recommend get into a good church.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Where you can learn and grow and be faithful and steady and be fed weekly, because salvation is fire insurance. It's
right.
Your bare minimum.
It's your bare minimum.
Okay. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. But there's so much more above that. You've got your basic liability auto insurance, and then you've got your full coverage.
There you go.
And we're after the full coverage.
Well, it's because we know that walking with God is an amazing experience as we learn, as we go through these times that we've been talking about in our first hour, those times where it seems like, God, where are you? You know, and when things are not happening the way we want them to happen, and we are discouraged, we're depressed. And I felt this morning before our service at Beacon this morning that there would be people today as we did this show that are feeling hopeless, that are feeling like they have nowhere to turn in their situation, that nothing is working the way they want it to work. And in a way, I think these disciples may have been close to that kind of a feeling here on the beach when they caught no fish. They'd gone back to fishing. Oh, wait a minute. I guess we'll go back to what we know. We know how to fish. Let's go fish. And they catch absolutely nothing, and that is absolutely not a coincidence. You know? So let's go back there. Let's go to before we do this song, let's go to John chapter 21 and catch people up if they just caught up. Jesus is standing on the beach, but he is not recognized by them. There are so many times God is working in our lives and we don't see him at work. We are so concentrating on the problem, we don't see God in the midst of the problem. And so he speaks to them, good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast? Verse 5. And they answered, no. And I would say here, tell God exactly what's going on in your situation. Be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people will give you the how's things going? Oh, great. God is so good. Oh, da, da. And yet they're not really feeling that. That's just something they say. You know what I mean, Cindy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's just like when you're walking through the halls at work and you go, hey, how you doing?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't really mean how are you. It means hi.
And that's right. You're right.
So when God says, hey, how you doing? He's not just saying hi.
Right.
So he can keep walking past you. You know,
That's a good point.
Yeah, and so, and if you can't tell him the truth.
Right.
You know, who are you going to tell it to?
Well, absolutely. And that's the whole point. Let's tell the truth. Let's tell him how you feel. Pastor Jim, comment on that. And then we're going to this song by Selah.
Well, yeah, we talked about it a little bit this morning at church. God already knows. The telling the truth to God is so that we know.
Because I like that.
Because we love to deceive ourselves.
Right.
Well, this problem isn't as bad as it really seems.
Right.
Yeah, probably is. It's probably worse.
Right.
But, you know, God, in a sense, it's one of those tests that God gives us. We have to be honest with ourselves or we don't change.
Right.
You know, we can hide, soften, minimize whatever the issues are.
We certainly can.
But when we get honest with God, then he can work. And I said it this morning, read the Psalms.
Right.
They're full of people just saying, God, this is how it is.
Yeah. It's worse than I thought.
Yeah. This is how it is. Well, and I think a prime example would be Psalm 51.
Yeah.
After Nathan came to David and you know, told him, you are the man.
Right.
You committed this sin with Bathsheba. You had her husband killed. David could have minimized. He could have, well, I'm king. I can do what I want. Or, you know, well, you know, I fell in love with her and I thought it was right or whatever. But instead, he wrote Psalm 91
right.
or Psalm 51, which is one of the greatest songs of confession. And
oh,
he didn't
absolutely.
Hold anything back.
No.
I mean, he talks about the being guilty of murder, of blood guilt.
Right.
And just the other things he did. He didn't hold anything back.
And
neither can we.
And we cannot. And we got to be honest. And the disciples were, did you get anything for breakfast? No. No. Listen to this song by Selah, You Deliver Me. I love it. Another one of my favorites.
Deep as the ocean, right as a rain, this powerful emotion lifts me up above the plain. It's taking me to places I never thought I'd go, showing me a grace I never thought I'd know. When I feel like I can't go on, you deliver me. And when the road is winding way too like a sinner whose sins have been washed clean, an absolute beginner whose heart has never seen. I must be forgiven for sometimes asking why I was. was chosen to be given you in this life. When I feel like I can't go on, you deliver me. Yeah, when the road is winding, way too.
Praise God. We serve the deliverer, and he loves you this day, dear one, wherever you are, whatever your circumstance is, God will deliver you. Just seek him. And these disciples in John 21 said, nope, we caught nothing. And in verse 6, Jesus said, and at this point, they don't even know it's Jesus. Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens. And it's interesting. They just do it. They don't argue. Isn't that interesting, Cindy? I mean, a lot of us, we argue with God. Why don't you try this? Oh, no, that doesn't work. I've already tried that 5 times. You know what I mean?
Desperation.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
okay.
Can't hurt. You know, I don't think it's going to work because I've tried that 10 times during the night.
Right.
But hey, we're already out here. We have the net. Let's go. Throw it over there. Yeah. And I think that's part of life.
It's, right.
But hey, I tried that already.
Yeah.
You know, but.
But so often, just because maybe, we tried it, maybe the timing wasn't right, you know?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Is that, yeah, we tried it. We tried it too early.
Yeah. We tried it too early.
Too late. Yeah. Too late. We tried it with the wrong person. We tried it, you know, in the wrong situation.
Right.
And those things had to change.
Exactly. For the timing to be right. Yeah.
Right.
All of a sudden, there were so many fish in their nets, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved, which is John, said to Peter, "It's the master." Suddenly, John, and I pointed this out this morning in my sermon, because I was talking about this at length. It's interesting to me, it's John that recognizes that this is Jesus, because John is known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And look at 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Look at the book of John. Look at the book of Revelation, all that John wrote. John loved Jesus. I mean, he understood that he was the Messiah. He loved him. And a result of this is that he recognizes Jesus in the midst of his situation, Pastor Jim, and so often we don't.
Right, and you know, and I think it's here too that John remembered. Wait, this thing happened before, and it was Jesus that time. I bet that's Jesus up there, and you know he had that heart. And. And just like he had written in his gospel, Jesus said, you know what? the Holy Spirit's going to bring all these things back to your remembrance. Mm-hmm. And John remembered, oh, Peter, it's Jesus out there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even though he had, was a little incognito right then. Right.
And I think it's funny, you know, John discerned it. And if you remember back to Easter morning, resurrection morning, John went to the tomb. He got there before Peter because he was younger. And he looked. He didn't go inside, but he looked and he believed. Whereas Peter went inside and didn't say anything about Peter believing at that moment. But John, it says, believed at that moment.
It's so huge, yeah.
And Peter, old impetuous himself, Jesus, wait. Boom, out of the boat he goes once again.
Right.
You know, here he goes jumping out of a boat.
As soon as he was told, that's Jesus. Peter doesn't hang around. He just, you know.
And I wonder if, I mean, still this being before the day of Pentecost, I wonder if it was just Peter's impetuousness. Mm. You know, because he was a pretty impetuous person before the day of Pentecost. Ooh, that was a whole lot of peas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the boat.
Right.
No, I don't know him. I don't know him.
You know, well, Lord, let's talk about that. You know, let's talk about the night that he betrayed Jesus, or denied him is really the better word. Three times, the night that they were beating him before the crucifixion. Let's talk about that, because here we see a fire that Jesus has laid up there. In about verse 7 to 9, if y'all are following along. Go ahead, PJ, with that concept, and then we'll go to Cindy for her insights.
Well, you know, he says, the other disciples then came up, and oddly enough, Jesus didn't even wait for them to bring their fish. He already had breakfast on the table by the time they got there.
Yeah.
And he tells them, come and have breakfast. And again, that's the kind of God we serve. Fellowship.
Right.
What a, how cool is it that he fixed them dinner or breakfast?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's all that just fellowshipping.
Yeah.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and opens, I'll come in and dine with him. I'll have fellowship. And here he is doing just that very thing. And then he pulls Peter aside. And we remember the night before Jesus went to the cross at that Last Supper. You know, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And everybody's saying, it ain't going to be me. And Peter said, it's not, no, Lord, not, never me, never me. And Jesus said, before you hear the cock crow twice, you will have denied me. You'll deny that you even know me three times. So, and that's exactly what happened. One of my, not a favorite verse because it's kind of depressing, but in when they took Jesus away, it says Peter followed at a distance.
Such an insight there about Peter.
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't gotten to the point where he like John, because John, it says, went right in.
Right.
Because he knew the high priest and all. John was there.
Right.
But Peter followed.
And he stayed outside in the courtyard. Yeah, he hung around back. The fire, right? That's specifically around, important here.
Yeah, he hung around the fire and denied Jesus three times. Mm-hmm. And here after the resurrection, I think it's wonderful that Jesus specifically took some time out to do this. I mean, he could have said, Peter, you know what? It's all good. It's all good. Mm-hmm. And yet he didn't. He got specific with Peter.
Absolutely.
By the fire. Same place, you know, same sort of thing that happened when Jesus or when Peter betrayed Jesus. And in verse, 15, it says, and when they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do? And I'm reading this out of Amplified. With reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, as one loves the Father.
That's like intense love.
Uh-huh. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection from you. As for a close friend. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Now, it's really important.
Yeah.
There are two Greek words here for love. One is agapao, which is God's love. And I love the way this puts it. It's a reasoning love. It's not based on emotion. Mm-hmm. It's I love you no matter what kind of love. That's the love God has for us. That's the love that eventually grows in us. That's the God kind of love. The other is phileo, which is that affection, that deep personal affection. It's more based on emotion.
And friendship, isn't it? It's more a friendship yeah. love, like phileo, like Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So Jesus says, do you agape me? And Peter says, oh, I phileo you.
Which means I friendship love you.
I have friendship. And yet, I love it because Jesus doesn't upbraid Peter. Oh, that was kind of a King James sort of word, wasn't it? He doesn't scold Peter for not having that kind of love. He says, all right, feed my lambs. And he asks him the second time, and we get the same answer.
Right.
You know, I love you like a friend. And again, Jesus doesn't scold Peter, just says, shepherd my sheep.
Yeah.
And he does, Jesus asks a third time, and this time he says, do you love me like a friend, Peter?
He gets down to Peter's level, doesn't he?
Right. And Peter says, Peter was just kind of grieving. He was hurt because he asked him the third time. And he says, Lord, you know I have that deep affection for you. And Jesus, again, no scolding, he says, feed my sheep. Three times Peter denied, three times he was restored.
Yes.
And commissioned.
At the fire both times.
At the fire both times. And he was commissioned. Not only was he forgiven, and I bet, you know, I just have a feeling this shook Peter to the core.
Oh.
You know? Because it says he was grieved that Jesus kept asking him. And yet then Jesus changed his wording slightly, like you said. And he meets us where we're at.
He meets us right where we are.
Before the day of Pentecost,
yep.
Before Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he couldn't manifest this kind of love.
Right.
But in a way, he was prophetically saying, you know what, Peter, someday you will. Because you're going to feed my sheep. You're gonna shepherd my sheep and feed my lambs.
Amen. And it is a process. God takes us right where we are when we come to him with a sincere heart and say, God, I want you down on the inside of me to live in me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to go to heaven someday. I believe that you're the Son of God, that God raised Jesus from the dead. And when we believe, God accepts us right where we are. And there's so many times in life we just get all messed up and we fall apart and we walk away and we can't see God in our circumstances. And through all those times are where we can't, you know, find God. He seems like he's playing hide and seek with us. When those times happen, he is still there. Cindy, talk to me before I play this next song. That's so cool. Go ahead.
Well, I think Jesus was very deliberate with Peter because that's Peter's personality.
Right.
He needed to be deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was so spontaneous and he often acted before he thought. That's just another instance of Jesus very definitely knowing our personalities,
yes.
Knowing how he created us to be, and using what he needs to use to reach us in each of our situations. So true. I think that gives us something else to be hopeful about, in that he knows what I'm going through, but he also knows how to deal with me in that situation.
Amen. And, you know, back to the point of God hiding himself, Jesus not revealing himself at first, I believe he gives us ample opportunity to try it on our own, you know, and just see how we do, you know, without his guidance right there, you know. And I've been there many times, you know, and because I have been, I don't know what, I don't know if you would call it lazy or just thinking, okay, I can work and I can do this and I can come out of this, whatever this is, instead of just sitting and being held and allowing God to speak his rhema word to us, which is the word that changes our situation, where we get quiet with God and we get in our Bible and we open it and suddenly a passage comes alive and it just gets to us, you know, and we start to cry and we don't even know why we're crying, or we are so moved by his spirit. And it just changes us. And this conversation with Peter was restoration for Peter. Any of you out there right now who've just been maybe struggling with your relationship with God, maybe it's just kind of so-so, or maybe you feel like God's playing hide-and-seek with you, and you just never hear from him anymore. I'm going to play a song I had no intention of playing. God just laid it on my heart. It's one that my own son has sung and different times at church years ago, but it is Soul on Fire by Third Day. And I'll tell you what, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be so on fire. Now that we're talking here about fire, Peter was he denied Jesus around the fire, and he was restored around the fire. And God's presence is fire in our lives. Woo, you are going to be blessed by this song. Yeah. Third Day is the group.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire.
Because that is what God wants for each of us. And I think this fire is so symbolic, Pastor Jim, not just that that's where Peter denied him, but also where he was restored, but because fire is the power of the presence of God. Moses saw the God in the fiery bush up on the mountain, right? You want to comment on this?
Right.
God wants us to be his souls on fire.
Moses saw... his first experience with God was the bush that was on fire and was not consumed. Later, when he led the Israelites out of Egypt, what went before them? A pillar of fire. a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, the actual presence of God. What took Elijah up into heaven? A fiery whirlwind.
Oh, boy, yes.
You know, the fire. And what on the day of Pentecost? landed on
That's where I wanted to go, yes.
Of the 112 was these tongues of fire.
Yes.
You know, so fire is associated with the presence of God. When the temple was dedicated, Solomon's temple, the glory cloud filled the place. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the offering. And the same thing with Elijah on Mount Carmel. Fire is associated with God's power. It's symbolic of God's power.
Fire can destroy a beautiful home in seconds, right? Fire, the fire of God on the inside of us is noticeable to others. I put that out there today, guys. When people are so full of God, in love with God, wanting to be what God wants them to be. Look what happened to Peter. Peter eventually, at the end of many years of being a missionary and going to different parts of the world and taking the gospel, when it came time for him to be crucified because they wanted to get rid of him and stop the message from going forward, he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified standing up." He had himself crucified upside down, did he not, PJ?
That's the story.
That's the story. But why would he do that?
Well, he didn't see himself as being worthy,
right,
of, you know, to suffer in the same way that Jesus did. So he asked that he be crucified upside down.
Absolutely. So, but look what Peter did. Look at the transformation. So if any of you out there are saying, you know, I'm just not at that place where I feel like I can really give God my all, or I just don't know what he wants from me, or I can never seem to hear his voice or anything. It is a process. Cut yourself some slack. God accepts you right where you are. Talk to us about this, Cindy, because, yeah, Peter wasn't at that place back around the fire the night of Jesus, imprisonment and all of that. He wasn't at the place he was on the day that he was crucified upside down. It was a process. Talk to us.
Well, and that it gives us hope not only for ourselves, but for those that we're praying for. I think that probably all of us have somebody, maybe many somebodies in our lives that they just don't seem like they're ever going to change, like they're ever going to get it, like they're ever going to commit or surrender, you know, to the Lord. And so I think it gives us the hope for ourselves, but also so hope for those that we love and that we're praying for and have prayed for, some of us, you know, months, years, that someone who could have the transformation that Peter had, if it's possible for him, then it's possible for any of us and anybody that we're praying for.
Absolutely. And why is it so important to be a soul on fire, PJ? What does that even mean? Some people may go, what was that song about? You know?
Well, to put it bluntly, it's somebody who's just on fire for God. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got the fire of the Holy Spirit within you, and that thing is a-blazing. You know, Paul told Timothy, stir up, fan into flame, some translations say, the gift of God that's within you. And, you know, it's a fire, and sometimes that fire can dwindle. Mm-hmm. To where it almost seems like it's going to go out due to what, you know, whatever. But all we have to do is ask God, you know what? Show me how to stir this up. How do I need to stir this gift up within me to fan it back into flames?
Absolutely.
You know, and you think of a fire that's almost gone out.
Right.
Well, sometimes you need to stir the embers, add a little more fuel, maybe get a bellows and blow on it to get the fire going back. And God does all those things.
Yes.
And uncontrolled fire is destructive.
Right.
Controlled fire, totally different thing. Here we have controlled burns to burn off the field before planting or to clean out the watering ditches. Fire can be used to create building materials that seals them. It can be used to create beautiful works of art. And so controlled fire is something amazing and brilliant and extremely powerful, but in a good way.
It's such a good point. And you know what I was thinking when you both were talking about fire in a bonfire, which we do a lot when I go to Indiana in my son's home, and we have this big beautiful area bonfire. When it's getting real low, what we just talked about, we stir those embers, get air there, all of that. But wood in the Bible is always symbolic of our humanity, you know? And what do we put on most of our fires? We put wood on the fires, and then they begin to, you know, the fire gets bigger and bigger and warmer, right? And the wood being our humanity, when we will allow the fire of God's Holy Spirit to get in there, and we say, God, okay, I want this area in my life to be, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to be full of fear, or I don't want to be full of worry and anxiety all the time, or panic. I want to trust you, God. I'm throwing on the fire my worry, my fear, my anxiety, my panic. I don't want to be like that. And then that flame within us, you can just picture it. It gets brighter because it puts warmth out there. Talk to us, PJ. Take that metaphor and run with it.
Well,
just run with that metaphor, PJ.
Okay. I will do that. Fire is good inside of a fireplace. If it gets outside the fireplace, it can do all sorts of damage. Mm-hmm. And yet, the wood being our humanity, what popped into my head was sometimes the fire consumes it. Mm-hmm. The fire burns up the humanity.
Absolutely. That was the point I was going for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
The dross that we have.
Burns it up. Yeah.
And sometimes that needs to go. The fear. Mm-hmm. Scripture says that we have been crucified with Christ. It's a done deal. Everything that we inherited from Adam went to the cross and stayed there with Jesus. But the practical working out of that is found in Romans, you know, chapter 7, and that's that burning process. We have to go through the fire, just like, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And who did they meet in the midst of that fire? They met Jesus. And if we allow ourselves to meet Jesus in the midst of our fiery trials.
Yes.
Because what does James say? Count it all joy when you encounter these trials. I would add fiery in front of it.
Fiery trials.
Knowing yeah. that they are to perfect you.
They are.
And if we allow ourselves to meet Jesus in the midst of those, then we're going to get out of it like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, purified, but not even smelling of smoke.
Which is wild.
Yeah, which is pretty incredible. And, you know, it's never going through those fires. We've all been through them. Pastor, I know you have, Cindy. I know you have. I have. Mm-hmm. You'd give anything to get out of that furnace.
Oh.
But.
Oh, yes.
But. Sometimes you got to stay in there for the refining to happen.
I totally agree, because it's in that process, and we all have heard this metaphor for years about gold and how as you apply the heat, what happens to it? That all the crud rises to the top, and the person that is refining the gold takes a big piece of something, probably metal, and pushes that, what they call dross, right, PJ?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Off. That's the impurities,
right? You skim the impurities off the top,
right.
And what's left is the gold. But it has to be really, really
hot.
Really hot.
And we all have problems with problems. When we have problems, we don't like it. When we have testing, and my first book was entitled, still out there on Amazon, or you can write me for it, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace. And when we absolutely go through those times in the fiery furnace, we are not happy campers usually as human beings. We are really, you know, we're having a hard time, don't you think, Cindy? I mean, we're like kicking and fussing and being having a little temper tantrum sometimes. I know I've been there many, many times having my temper tantrums.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you saying that about me, Cindy?
Well, no.
No, I'm teasing you. You can.
I think when you put fire or your wood on a fire, you're sacrificing your wood for something greater.
Ooh.
Warmth, the ability to cook.
Good points.
To refine gold, whatever. So if we look at it, wood as our humanity, we are laying our humanity on God's fire as a sacrifice to Him for something greater.
Right.
For a greater cause, for greater blessing, for greater growth, greater purpose. So it's
very good.
Sacrificing is never easy.
It isn't, and it revolves about love. We must love why we're doing this. I mean, as we fall more and more in love with God, we see the need to do this. Talk to us, PJ. I'm sorry, I think I interrupted
you.
Well,
no, that's okay. I love what Paul says. Therefore, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What's the problem with a living sacrifice? Normally when you sacrifice something, it's dead. Living sacrifice, what do we want to do? Because he's telling us to do it. And I know you've heard me say this before, Pastor. We want to crawl off that altar. It starts getting hot.
Absolutely.
We want to, ouch.
Heat in the kitchen, we want to get out.
We want to get out. We want to get off that altar.
Mm-hmm.
But God does call us exactly to be that living sacrifice.
Yeah.
And if you read through, like, especially the book of Leviticus, so many of those sacrifices, especially the ones for sin, were completely consumed.
Yes.
There wasn't anything left. They were called the whole burnt offering. Everything was burned up completely. And Jesus is likened to that, and he calls us to the same thing.
He does.
To become basically a whole burnt offering so that all the dross in our lives can be taken away.
Right.
So that we can be, well, Paul talks about those vessels of gold.
And why would we do this? Because we see the value in loving God with all of our, which we talked about last week, Luke chapter 10, all of our spirit, soul, mind, and body. We are saying, God, I love you. And Jesus said to the young lawyer in Luke 10, 22, hey, he said, what do I have to do to get to heaven? And let's bring it right around to our theme, forever home. He said, well, how does it read to you? And he said, I think I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my soul, my mind, my body, my strength, whatever. Those four things, different translations call them different things. But in other words, love God entirely.
With my total being.
With my total being, Jesus said. And the rich young or the young lawyer said, and my neighbor is myself. And Jesus said, oh, yeah, do this and you're going to live. That's it. That's where you get eternal life. It's love. It's all about love, which brings me to this song. What'd you start to say, PJ?
Well, I was going
to
say, but then the next words out of the rich young ruler's mouth were, and scripture says, seeking to justify himself.
That's right.
Well, who is my neighbor?
Yeah, okay, who's that? How can I get a loophole here? First love, Chris Tomlin. God wants you to put him first. Do you?
Still my first love, and all I am is yours. You are still my anchor, forever I'm secure. You are still my first love. You're my guiding light. You're with me in the fire, and you lead me through the night.
Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Do you know that God sent his son to the cross for you because he loves you? It's Father's Day. Our Father God loved you so very much, dear one. And all he asks is that you learn to love him too. And that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that you steadily learn to walk in step with him, that you learn to love him. You know, when you first meet someone in this life, maybe a date or whatever, you don't love them yet. You may think you do, but, you know, it takes time, doesn't it, Cindy, to really love somebody? And you do it by knowing who they are, what their character is, how they feel about God. For me, that's what's very important. How do they feel about God? You know, do they love God? Are they in love with God? You know, talk to us about that, Cindy, and then we'll go to UPJ. I love that song. It's so important that we just fall in love with Jesus.
You can't get to know someone without spending time with them.
Right.
And so even though on earth someone may be very attracted to them, romantically or just friendship-wise, if it stops there, then it's a stunted relationship. And often it's not a relationship that's beneficial to us in any way. You have to spend time. You have to have conversations. You have to do things together.
Right.
Do we truly have things in common? Are our goals the same? Are our commitments the same? You can't judge on that first look, that first meeting. It's deceptive. It will lead us astray almost every time.
Yeah,
because we make decisions without enough information.
And you know, with God, the information about who he is right there in the pages of your Bible. He right. lays it out who he is. He's the good father. He's the father that loves you just the way you are. He accepts you right where you are today. That's who we're saying we've got to fall in love with. PJ, talk to us.
Well, yeah, you can't. A relationship is something that grows. If it doesn't grow, it stagnates and eventually just dies. And you're absolutely right. You spend time with somebody, both of you. I mean, you know, you have to spend time with Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, hey, how are you? Good morning. And let that be. You have to get into the Word to learn about God's character.
That's right.
How God, and you learn about how God loves you. And then you spend time in prayer. And because, Cindy, you had mentioned, you talk. You have to have conversations. You got to talk.
Got to talk.
If you don't talk, and part of that, I might add, is listening. Don't do all the talking. Nobody wants to have you as a friend if you're just going to do all the talking. Sit back and listen. Listen to what the Lord is saying. And then, you know, get with other people, like-minded people. You know, our relationship with God doesn't grow only between us and God. It grows in the fellowship of other believers. I mean, I know there was a long period of time when it was just me and God, and, you know, that was kind of barely hanging on. Came down here, moved to Florida, finally was obedient to God, and came to church at Beacon. And God really showed me how important fellowship is, because we're organic, we're part of each other, we're accountable to each other, and that's really important too. That's part of growing in that relationship with God, is fellowshipping with
Absolutely.
Others who believe the
yes.
same as you.
Yes. And there's no substitute for time in the Word of God, you know, because where you get to know the character of the Father. That's where you get to know what Jesus said. And I always recommend that you start reading, if this is all new to you, start with the book of John. We've been talking about John today. He wrote that. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation. John really understood the heart of Jesus, in my opinion. He really got it. And that's John, that book, it'll just come alive. Underline it, mark it, read it in different translations. Talk to us, Cindy. Give our listeners some advice here, will you? Some leading.
I think that different translations is a huge thing.
Yeah.
I know that there are organizations that teach King James only.
Yeah.
And I think you miss out on so much.
Right.
Because God can use whatever he wants to speak to you.
Right.
It doesn't even have to be the Bible. It can be,
sure.
It can be a quote.
A devotional, a something. Yeah.
Yeah, television show, a friend saying something. So there's nothing wrong with using the different versions to get an expanded
That's right.
view of what God is saying. And
right.
whereas one version, you might read a verse and it does absolutely nothing for you, another version can just totally bring it to life. And, you know, especially if you're going to dig and study, you need a good, the word escapes me, the book that tells you what the words mean in the original language.
A lexicon.
Yeah.
A lexicon, yeah, you know, and there are guides.
Of course, I would know that.
Yes, you would.
You know, there are commentaries. There are many study aids because, let's face it, if you're in the King James and that's it, sometimes that old English is hard to understand.
Hard to understand. I teach out the Message Bible a lot because of that. Our modern day language. PJ, you
so
want
to use?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say use the tools that are available.
That's right.
Day
yes.
and age of technology, use what you have to really dig.
It's exactly right. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, yeah, if I agree, a concordance, a lexicon, there's so many tools online. I use a lot of online tools now too. Because heaven knows, dragging around a Strong's exhaustive concordance is pretty exhaustive.
It's exhausting.
So I use a lot of online tools, and I agree. I lean more toward the word for word translations, New American Standard, things like that. But that's me. And, you know, some people are real comfortable with the New International Version, or the Message, or whatever, new Revised Standard, whatever.
Get something and read it.
the point is get something you can read and read it.
Read it.
And study it, like, you know, like we said. And again, I go back to the prayer aspect. Someone said a long time ago that, you know, if all you do is read your Bible, you'll dry up.
Right.
If all you do is pray, you'll blow up. If you read your Bible and pray, you will grow up.
Ooh. All right.
So,
okay.
You know, it's both.
Right.
And, you know, you have, and yeah, it's a commitment. It's a commitment. I mean, you know, but again, don't think of prayer as like, I have to set aside X amount of time. Look at it as just talking to Jesus, because that makes it a whole lot easier.
Absolutely. And, you know, with all that said, I want to go back to each of you for a final word here, because we are almost at the top of this hour here and we got to get out of here in a few minutes. But what we've been trying to say today is develop your relationship with God. Go to the scripture, read it. John 21 is a great chapter. Go back over it, what we've been talking about. Cindy, a final comment from you before we get out of here.
Ask God to show you what he wants you to see in his word.
Yeah.
You can, all of us have had the experience of verses or passages that we've heard all our lives, we've read all our lives, we've heard them taught on, and suddenly brand new meaning pops out.
Absolutely.
So just ask God, say, hey, you have something here for me, show me what it is.
Thank you, Cindy Henderson from Idaho and part of Beacon of Hope Ministries. You are a joy and a delight. Thank you for being on the show today. Pastor Jim, you got about 20 seconds.
All right. Well, the same thing as Cindy said. You know, get into the Word, pray, find a fellowship. And if this, and I will add this, if this teaching today, if our radio show today has made a difference in your life, let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Email Pastor Marcia at pastor@bohmglobal.com. You can email me, Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. We would love to know how this show impacts your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's not far to Jesus. That's our ending song. It always is, because that's the truth. It's not far to him. And we love being on the air with you every week. We will be right back here in these chairs. Different team members joining me next Sunday of our big team, but we will be bringing you the Word of God next week, and we want you to get it down on the inside of you. God bless you. It's been Pastor Jim Elsberry, my associate pastor, Cindy Henderson, our dear, dear one from Idaho, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. Have a great week. Oh, we forgot to mention, use our prayer line. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Pastor Jim, Betty, and Shell man that. And so when you send us a prayer request, we have a whole team praying for you, and we get results, God, because God answers prayer.
Amen.
And that's why. So prayers@bohmglobal.com. God bless you. Have a great week. We will see you next week at 3 p.m. Eastern. God bless you.
It's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here.
uttered